Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krupp.
Hey, friends, welcome to A Little Politics with Your Coffee on a gorgeous Friday morning. And, of course, you know, if it's Friday, it's Freedom Friday, where we celebrate liberty in a special way because, well, I, as your humble radio talk show host, I extend to you the opportunity to call and talk about anything you want to talk about. It's got to be political, of course. So that's what you can do this day. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. 503-589-1220. Emails always to Jeff at 1220.am. And I got a great email regarding, you know, yesterday I was talking about Peggy Boquist's testimony that she submitted along with a lot of other people, except perhaps many of you, and thank you for doing that, in the Brian Boquist kangaroo court hearing on Monday. And what's great about that is that, yeah, all of that stuff is online, and if you want to read it, it takes a little digging, and I've got a great email about that, and I'll share that with you as we go through. Maybe you want to talk about something like, oh, how about the homeless man who gets convicted of a hate crime because he spit on a Latino man who told him to move his homeless camp? What? Yeah. Did you know that in Oregon you can get convicted of a hate crime by spitting on somebody? Now, I wonder how many people that threaten Brian and Peggy Boquist's life that are actually being investigated by the Polk County Sheriff and the Oregon State Police. I wonder how many of them are going to be convicted of a hate crime. Does it not rise to that level? Oh, wait a second. They're white people. Probably not. Hey, how about this? Maybe you want to talk about the Oregon Senate leaders. It's a story on OPB. By the way, you can find most of this at OregonWatchdog.com if you want to go check that out. Oregon Senate leaders, Peter Courtney, is sending apparently $3,500 bills to those magnificent 11 Republicans who walked out for 9 days. The question is, do they even have the legal authority to do that? Now, Jenny Burdick had proposed a resolution during this time where they were going to deduct the $500 a day fine from their legislative pay. Now, you got to understand, folks, that legislators make about $80 a day plus per diem at $130 or $140 a day per diem, which is barely enough to pay for if you have to move to Salem from Klamath Falls or Ontario or John Day or the Dalles or wherever and rent an apartment or a hotel room and pay for food and all that kind of thing. But at any rate, nobody's quite sure that they have the legal authority to do this. And they're not saying that they do. Now, Republicans have previously said, you know what, if you do that, we're going to sue because you don't have any authority to do it legally. Well, they moved from the idea of us deducting it from their pay. They moved from that idea to, well, we're just going to send them an invoice. And if not, then we're going to send it to collections. Really? This is Dirk Vanderhart writing this story for OPB. And he's a liberal, folks. You just tell by the tone of the story and how he writes. But even he questions. And the folks that run the Senate Republican or Senate Democrat office, the majority of the Senate President's office, Peter Courtney's office, won't tell them what provision of Oregon law that allows them to do this. And they won't say what provision of Oregon law doesn't allow them to dock their pay. In fact, the Office of Legislative Counsel, I'm reading from this story, which provides legal advice to the lawmakers, declined to answer an inquiry on the matter or to discuss what mechanism allowed Senate leadership to fine lawmakers in the first place. Everybody's staying quiet about this. He writes, an inquiry to the legislature's human resources director was not immediately answered either. Now, on this business of fines, this is something you probably don't know, but it was in Peggy Boquist's testimony she submitted. You know what it was? That the Republican staffers of the Magnificent 11 were also being threatened. The staffers were being threatened with fines per day if they didn't show up for work. Now, they all did. You could walk around any one of those legislative offices and you could see that the staff were at work. Where did they get the legal authority to threaten that? And who did it? I'm telling you, friends, what Brian and Peggy Boquist are doing here is profoundly important. Now, this story also says that Brian Boquist paid on July 3rd, wrote a $3,500 check. Okay, now why would he do that? Well, he did it because he thinks it makes his case stronger for the lawsuit he filed. I'm quoting from the story. On July 3rd, Republican Brian Boquist sent Courtney a check for $3,500 along with a letter indicating he was paying to allow him to seek remedy in state and federal court. Let me say that again. Federal court. State and federal court. So I want you to think this through a little bit with me. That's why I asked the question, folks. Is Brian Boquist, Oregon's Trump, is he really kind of way ahead of everybody here? Well, I think he is. And I think it's brilliant as you think this through what this allows. I've talked about this all week. I know some of you may be getting a little tired of it, but friends, we've got to change how Oregon is going. Because we're circling the drain, folks. We just are. We don't need to become California with this mass exodus of the middle class. Can't afford to live there anymore. We don't need to do that to Oregon. It's unnecessary. It's an unforced error, to use a baseball term. It's dumb, to use a Jeff Krupp term. It's stupid. And it is born and being forced down our throats by those who believe it is not only okay, but that there's a never-ending source of income, and it's called business community, because they don't like the business community, because businesses are evil, corporations are evil. And they'll just stand there and take whatever tax increase or regulatory scheme, because that costs businesses a lot of money also. They'll just take it, because Oregon's such a wonderful place to live. And because it's such a wonderful place to live, we'll just violate every tenet of good business sense, and we'll just stand here and take it. We'll let our bottom line be destroyed in certain businesses that are really high dollar sales and virtually tiny profits. We'll let that be destroyed because we love it here and because we want to live in a progressive state, in a regressive totalitarian Marxist world. The land of Kate, if you will. Yeah. We'll just take it. That's the insanity of what these people believe. They don't think you can kill the goose that lays the golden egg. That's why they keep piling new regulations. Do you know that the legislature has passed, I'm not kidding you now, $5 billion in new taxes on you and I? Did you know that? Taxes and fees, both. $5 billion more that you and I are going to be paying that we weren't paying before. And what are you getting for that? Well, you're getting this editorial from the Ben Bulletin. the editorial staff. Another green program flounders. I'll get into that as we go along. Another incredible waste of your tax dollars. But remember now, it's all for the children. It's all for the good of the planet. And if you fight us, you're a climate denier, and you're evil, and your businesses, if you don't want to suck it up and just take another tax, take one for the team, because Oregon's such a wonderful place to live. If you don't want to do that, if you don't want to fund schools, you should just leave. According to Democrat State Senator James Manning Jr., which he said on the floor of the Senate. You can find the YouTube video. That's how Democrats think, folks. That's how not just Democrats think, but so many people who are being indoctrinated in our schools to believe that that generation of kids are going to be the ones to save the planet, because the evil businesses and evil human beings are destroying it. And they're using, of course, the false narrative that this tropical storm, it's not even a hurricane, folks, this tropical storm that's bearing down on Louisiana, on New Orleans, that it is going to just devastate. And it's all because of climate change brought on by you and I exhaling CO2. It's Freedom Friday. What do you want to talk about? That's my little rant for today, folks, at the end of the week. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Anything you want to talk about that's politically oriented is on the table today. So what do you want to say? What do you want to talk about? 503-589-1220. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. This segment of the show is brought to you, of course, by our friends at King's Coffee. Yeah, we talk politics over a cup of coffee. And you know why? Because that allows you, typically, over a cup of coffee, you're either starting your day or you're trying to keep yourself going and you're thinking about things. It's important to think about how the political issues of the day impact your life. And that's why we talk about it. King's Coffee sponsors this show, one of our great sponsors. So why don't you think about buying some great coffee that's roasted here in Salem? Go to their website, kingscoffee.biz. It's the only place you can buy it for the moment, kingscoffee.biz. The email I alluded to is from Defend1776. He said, Jeff, I finally found and read the testimony by Peggy Boquist that you talked about. What she described, death threats and other abusive conduct, provide a much-needed context to the statements made by Brian Boquist, a context which I have not seen reported in the media. I'll go on with this as we go along, friends, but what do you want to talk about today? There's more to it. And we'll continue to talk about all of this and whatever's on your mind politically today, 503-589-1220. It's Freedom Friday. What do you want to talk about? Back in a moment. Come on and sing my song.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
22 minutes past 6 o'clock. Great to have you with us, friends. It's Freedom Friday. It means you can call and talk about anything you want to talk about today. It's really easy. You just pick up the phone, 503-589-1220. We'll go to the phones in just a momento. Should Oregon State Republican senators, the Magnificent 11 who walked away, should they pay the $3,500 fine? Or should they fight it in court because they're saying it's illegal? And do you want to pay more taxes and fees to the state of Oregon, given that another program another state program, a green program, has failed spectacularly. And did you know that you can be convicted of a hate crime if you spit on someone, even though you're a poor victim of the evil society? You're a homeless man, but you can get convicted like this guy did in Portland of spitting on a Latino man. That's a hate crime, apparently. Unbelievable, folks. This is the land of Kate. This is the land of the regressive totalitarian Marxist, or, as Ron likes to say, the retro Bolsheviks. Speaking of Ron, let's talk to Ron. Hey, Ron, good morning. What's on your mind today, buddy?
Hey, brother. I'm Jonathan. I'm resting up for a change. But nevertheless, to hear that, just like we talked about, I have not yet seen these so-called green energy jobs pay out anywhere in this country. Let's go back to 2009, you know. President Obama went to SolarWorld or Solyndra and bragged about in Colorado, 2,500 jobs. What happened to those 2,500 jobs? What happened to the various places in California where they put solar, bragging about, cap and trade after Schwarzenegger used the executive order to push things through cardboard? And let me tell you something. People better wake up. People better keep their heads on, because this ain't going to stop. People going to special session. Watch Mother Kate try to go through and push some more of this crap in less than 30 days, pieces at a time. This is what I've been hearing. Mike Hansen, you know, and everybody else got to pay attention, especially Williamson, Prozansky. Everybody needs to get the chalkboard, get their scoreboard, and at the same time, keep track. Because 2020, no matter if you got Oregon Pushback, Timber Unity, we need Mo. We need people to understand. We need them to be enlightened, and they need to be educated. And we need to go after unaffiliated voters as a Republican Party. If we don't do that, we can't make the change that we need in the giant way. Even the president came to the state every month and had bring the truth. We are still stiff-necked, stifling people in this state. No different than the days after Jeroboam, after Moses and Joshua. We have to stay on. We got to keep in prayer. And at the same time, Jeff, it's people like yourselves that make this country great, because we bring truth and enlightenment and uplift through our faith. Thank you.
Thank you, my friend. And I appreciate the very nice comments you just made. And you're right on the money. Is that, you know, we have to pray. That's the most important thing. A lot of people listen to the show are people of faith. If you're not, that's okay. We're not condemning you in any way, but. And I believe in prayer, and I believe in the power of it. That's the very first thing we need to do. And the second thing is we've got to continue to be politically active, even if that means you don't go show up at Timber Unity rallies or become part of the Republican Party, or just, you know, if you don't like the Republican Party, you need to at least be informed, and you need to engage in what I ask you to do. That's listen to the interesting stories that we cover and how I present them, again, with a belief that you can change your world. You can help persuade people in your circle of influence that are persuadable. Don't waste your time on those who are not, because all you're going to do is get into an argument. But with people who are that you know, maybe the people you work with, people in your family, people in your church or your cultural clubs, Rotary, you know, whatever. You know people that are kind of persuadable, that have indicated that on some of these issues they're on the fence. You have the ability to, with each one of them, to ask interesting questions, thoughtful questions, about these topics that really do matter in their lives. You've got the ability to be persuasive. Sometimes you just plant a seed, let it grow. It's easy for me to say because I'm a farmer, okay? But I've got to tell you, it really is your opportunity. If we're going to change this state, we do it one person at a time. Ron is so right on. So right on. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. 503-589-1220. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. Let me continue with the email from 1776 about where you can find Peggy Boquist's testimony. As he continues in this email, get this. This is what he says. The Soviet-style threats by the governor and other politicians. Now, just stop for a moment. The Soviet-style threats by the governor and other politicians against the Republican dissidents are outrageous and cannot be tolerated in a civil society. Thank you for bringing all of this to our attention. No one else is doing so. Your show is really vital to Oregon. It needs to be syndicated and heard throughout the state. Roger, you're just far too kind, and I am deeply appreciative of your comments. It makes me think that we're doing the right things here and for the right reasons. You see, this story about the Oregon Senate leaders assessing, sending invoices to these magnificent 11 Republican senators that walked away for 9 days, $3,500, is the follow-through. And I think it's a huge mistake, because you know what's going to happen? If Republicans fight this, take it to court and say it's illegal because the statute doesn't allow it, the Democrats have lost an intimidating weapon that they can't use anymore, and it will even more empower the minority party, whether it's Republican or Democrat. The question is, do they want to risk that? Art, hang on through the bottom of the hour break at 6:30 in the morning. We'll be back at Freedom Friday. What do you want to talk about?
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
It is 26 minutes till the top of the hour, friends. If you're just joining us, a little politics with your coffee. It is Freedom Friday, which I extend to you the freedom, celebrate liberty, the freedom of having you call. Talk about anything you want to talk about politically today. Doesn't have to be what I'm talking about. Anything you want to get off your chest is fair game for today. And you know how you do that? You pick up the phone. 503-589-1220 is the number to call. It's the Power Buick GMC talk line, 503-589-1220, or send me an email to Jeff at 1220.am. In a moment, we'll go to the phones. Let me tease you with this. The Oregon Clean Vehicle Rebate Program, another one of those green programs that are subsidizing the purchase of electric cars for Oregonians at like $2,500 per car. Now, it is set up for low and moderate income Oregonians. Now, others can get it too, but the low income Oregonians in the middle class are supposed to be the ones to benefit. Guess how many of these applications for this electric car purchase program for low and middle class folks, guess how many have been processed by the state? Just guess. Oh, and then guess how much money you need to make to qualify. Oh, this is going to be fun, folks. This segment of the show is brought to you by our friends at Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care. If you haven't tried CBD oil products to make your life and your body feel a little bit better, I think you should. And you ought to talk to the folks at Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care. Down on South Commercial, right next to Safeway. You can't miss it. Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care. To the phones, as I promised. We'll start first with Art. Art, good morning. What do you have to say
morning,
to me on Freedom
Jeff,
Friday?
Happy Friday. Hey,
yeah, thank you.
I thought bullying was against the law and that the Democrats thought bullying shouldn't occur. However, boy, it sure sounds like Brian and the Republicans are being bullied. Of course, we know that they are. And I find it really ironic, you know, and it's been going on too long in this state. I can tell you right now, the organization that I belong to, the ACB of Oregon, we chose a representative to sit on the Oregon Commission for the Blind Board, and which was what we were supposed to do. And then the governor's office, because they didn't like the person we selected, because that person may not agree what's going on and expose some garbage going on. And so they said, we want you to give us three people to choose from, instead of letting us choose our representative. And you know, Jeff, there's just too much bullying and too much covering up and all that kind of stuff. And it just irks me. So kudos for Brian. I think he's on the right track. We need to end the bullying that's going on in this state and the inappropriate behavior, like charging $3,500 to the Republicans because they were exercising their right under the Constitution, is just ludicrous. But that's what bullies do, Jeff.
So you are so right on the money. Let me ask you this question, Art, before I let you go. Do you think that message about bullying is getting out there to the average person in Oregon?
Well, it's starting to be exposed, Jeff. It needs to be exposed more, okay, because it's getting worse and worse. I mean, look at the things, the retributions against people who try to do the right thing. I mean, they get slammed, they get degraded, they get lied about. It's just, God, you know, it's just inappropriate. What can I say?
Yeah, you're right. It's inappropriate. And it's probably illegal. And if nothing else, nobody likes a schoolyard bully. Nobody likes the schoolyard bullying of Kate Brown and Peter Courtney. Art, thanks so much, friend. Have a great weekend.
Let's go to
the next caller, 503-589-1220, by the way, is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Freedom Friday, and call and talk about anything politically you want to talk about. Let's go to Brian, who's on. Brian, good morning. Good to hear your voice again. What do you want to talk about today on Freedom Friday?
Hey, Jeff, more taxation to make things better in prosperity is like giving a drunk more whiskey to sober him up. You know, it just doesn't work. And I think that, you know, in light of the invoices that they were going to send to the Magnificent 11 is all the victims of sanctuary city and state crimes, the ones who've been hurt by illegals, they just send invoices to Kate Brown and her posse. You know, at least the medical
expenses. I
don't know how you put a value, a price on the brutality and being raped or something like that, but I think they ought to just flood her and the Democrats with either lawsuits or invoices or something. You know, get their attention. Go on the offensive.
You know, Brian, there was a sheriff. I forget which sheriff it was. I think it was from, I don't know, it was either Umatilla County. It was an Eastern Oregon county that sent the state of Oregon a bill for incarcerating. And I think this is like when we were having the vote on illegal alien driver's licenses in 2014. It rings a bell. Anyway, for incarcerating these illegal aliens that the state of Oregon has just been welcoming here because our policies are a magnet for them. I think that ought to happen again, and I think you have a brilliant idea. I think there ought to be a class action lawsuit against the state for the cost to the average Oregon taxpayer of the state's sanctuary state policies that are costing us a lot of money. And, you know, that's another reason, by the way, Brian, I got to tell you why I think Trump is so brilliant. What he said yesterday, his continuing fight to get the citizenship question on the census, is I will bet you that there are at least twice as many illegals in the state of Oregon than what they say there are. Wouldn't that be interesting?
I believe it. You see the demographics just walking around the stores. You see the demographics are changing drastically. There's places I go, sometimes I feel like I'm in a foreign country because I don't hear my own language. You know, so I would suspect that there's a lot more in what they're saying. You know, and I've never seen such a time as in my life that there's such a clear-cut distinction between common sense and insanity and tyranny and freedom and, you know, right and wrong. And it seems like our indoctrination centers, the public schools, are doing a good job of creating little communists. And so I give kudos to all the people who homeschool or go to charter schools or if they afford a private school. I give them kudos. That's probably part of our salvation as a nation is parents who do that.
So let me ask you this question, Brian.
Otherwise, we're sunk.
So regarding public education, and, you know, I am the founder of one of the largest schools in Oregon, Oregon Connections Academy. We have 4,500 students statewide. It's an online school. When it comes to public indoctrination, you know, in Salem-Keizer School District, a slate of pretty conservative board members were just elected. Don't you think the board members of school districts should be pressuring the education professionals not to adopt curriculums that are, in fact, indoctrination rather than education? Shouldn't we be fighting that? Shouldn't they be fighting that?
I think they should. See, when I was a kid, I remember there was a transition. I don't remember a whole lot about because I was a kid and wasn't thinking about those kind of things, you know. But they went from the parents being on the school board, you know, local school boards. They consolidated everything and to get control. I don't know if it was under the guise of making it better or whether they were trying to make it better financially, but they took the local control of the parents away from them and then when curriculum starts getting mandated from the top down, you know, like the Department of Education, we know what kind of people control that down to the states. It's a very clever, in my opinion, a very clever long-term plan that the left has had. And it's been very effective.
Comes right out of Karl Marx and Nikolai Lenin's philosophies and teachings. Brian, excellent points. Thanks for calling. Have a great weekend.
You too.
So I posed this question to you in this Bend Bulletin editorial about another failed Oregon Green program. This is the one that gives a rebate to Oregonians who qualify to buy an electric car. Now, it's based on your income, and it's defined as you get this $2,500 rebate, according to this editorial, if you have an income of 120% of the median income based on your household size. You know what that is for Bend Redmond? To qualify for this $2,500 electric car rebate, it's $91,800. Now, do you think you could buy an electric car on your own if your income for your family is $91,800? Probably. By the way, I also teased you with how many applications. This is the whole point of this editorial. Why they call it a failed program. How many applications have actually been processed for these folks? Well, the state got 4,004 applications for electric vehicle rebates. And how many of them this program is for low income and moderate income car buyers. Guess how many applications? Well, out of the 4,004, 581 are from people who qualify as low income. Guess how many it's processed? None. Not a single one. Now, as the editorial points out, it's unfair to put all the blame on the state. AAA sued, arguing that under Oregon law, the money raised from this sales tax, and that's what it is, on new cars, had to be used towards road repairs. Now, that's what the Constitution says, folks, and they're right. Program was put on hold until the state was resolved. But even so, the editorial points out, the state doesn't have enough resources to even run the program. But yes, you can bet they're spending your tax dollars to not only administer it, but to grant the taxes. And they want you to give them more money for other green programs. Just trust us. Come on.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
10 minutes till the top of the hour, Street of Friday. You can still call. This is your last segment, by the way, to call and talk about anything politically you want to today. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line, or shoot me an email. Jeff at 1220.am, and I've got some emails to read, but I need to go to the phones. Let's go to Tim. Tim, good morning. Your thoughts today. Welcome.
Hi, Jeff. I'll be real quick. Marion County Fair is going on this weekend. Do we have a booth there for collecting signatures for the referendum?
I believe that the Republicans are doing that, yes, in the Republican Party booth. That's what I was told.
Okay. I just thought I'd ask in case they need volunteers to go down. So...
My guess is they probably do, and it would be wonderful, even if you're not a Republican, you can still go into their booth and you can still talk to people and get signatures.
Okay. Better take those emails.
Indeed. Thanks.
Bye.
Thanks, Tim. And I hope you do that. That's great. And I hope others of you will do that, too. And the way you want to talk to people about it is to just very simply say what Tim says to people, you want to vote on the sales tax that the legislature just passed that's going to raise your cost of living a lot. That's all you need to say. Use the word sales tax. That's critical. And then you make sure they understand the legislature did it. They should have the chance to vote on it because it's going to raise their cost of living a lot. And it is, friends. Emails. This one from a unnamed state employee. Said, we talk about the Magnificent 11, but there's not talk about the House Republicans. Where are they, and when will they show up united to promote conservative causes? Good question. I mean, the House Republicans did do a number of things, to their credit, to fight and slow down the process. You know, they demanded every word be read of every bill for a long time until they cut some deals, I think, is what happened. And they decided not to. They decided to go ahead and allow rules suspension. And I think part of the reason they did that is because they were talking with Senate Republicans and sort of coordinating with them in that they knew the Senate Republicans were going to go walk. Now, Senate Republicans walked the first time, right? Got the vaccines bill and the gun bills killed. Came back, and the Democrats, according to the Republicans, broke the deal twice. So, okay. So I think that they, it's and by the way, it's a lot harder to unite 22 members of the House. It's a lot easier to unite only 11 members of the Senate. Everybody who serves has their own agenda as they go forth there. Who's taking Denise Bowles' spot as a representative? Republicans have put forward three names. Brad Nanke, longtime Salem City Councilor, is one of them. I forget who the other two people are. And what's the Republican strategy moving forward? Kate and her cronies, he writes, are making underhanded plans to unscrupulously move their agenda forward. Are the Republicans ready? And what will they do to counter her devious schemes? Very good questions. And Republicans are, I can guarantee you, they're thinking it through. But one of the things that, this is why what Brian and Peggy Boquist are doing and how Republicans respond to these fines, the bullying, if you will, which is a great point Art mentioned, how they respond to this. If they fight these fines legally, if Brian and Peggy continue exposing the corruption in the deal-making and the sweeping things under the rug that's been going on, if they continue with that, that's part of that strategy of emboldening Republicans, especially the Senate Republicans, in standing firm and being able to successfully fight Kate's devious plans. Let's go to Fred. Freddie, how are you, brother? Good to hear your voice.
Hey, great, Jeff. I just want to call and brag about my youngest son. He's been doing an internship with a space consortium, and that's affiliated with NASA, and their project has just been approved, and they're going to be launching a computer that he helped develop. We'll be landing on the moon this year, and there's going to be checking the radiation attack on computer parts. So for the rest of my life, when I look at the moon, it's going to be, have a different to me, knowing that my youngest son has just been part of a team that completed that project, and NASA gave him a $1.2 million grant for achieving that.
Awesome. Yeah, you know, I suppose that would definitely change your perspective when you look at the moon. That's great. Good for you, and good for your son.
Yeah, you know, my wife and I, we sacrificed and sent them to a private school, private Catholic school, and made sure that they learned the three R's, and he's been busting his rear end, and next year he's becomes a senior and will graduate with his computer engineering degree and a minor in electrical engineering and the Honors College, and he's only 21 years old, and I'm just so doggone proud of him. And when people talk about this younger generation, they're pretty smart. Most of them are pretty doggone smart, so we ought to take pride in all of our young people that are trying to make this world a better place.
Indeed. And one quick question. Is he a conservative? Is your son a conservative? Oops, we lost it. Okay. Those things
Thank
happen.
You, Jeff.
Oh, there you are. Now you're cutting out. All right. Fred, thanks, Freddie. That's good to hear. An email from Wanda. Now, this is an interesting one about Brian Boquist. If a person who is not a privileged legislator made threats against the state police and the Senate president, as Boquist did, wouldn't he have his concealed carry permit taken away? If Boquist has a concealed carry permit, why hasn't that privilege been revoked due to the threats he made? Well, Wanda, first of all, you have to believe that he made threats. Did he really? So, would a person, I don't know that, you may be right, there may be a provision in Oregon law that allows if you have said something, again, but see, here's the problem. This is a free speech argument. Because what Brian Boquist said, by the way, has been said by other people. Now, whether it was justified or not, I mean, obviously, when people are telling you that you're going to be arrested and brought back in chains and chained to your desk, happened before Brian Boquist said what he said. Remember, Brian did this for a reason. So I don't know if his concealed carry could be revoked. Doesn't matter who you are, but the fact that it hasn't happened should tell you something. My friend Fred Thompson, you just heard him. He's a great patriot. He's a great conservative. And he knows how to rear up children, he and his wife. And they have. They're overachievers. But you know what? One of the things that he can help you do is to help you overachieve. Now, how could that be? Well, it could be as simple as having enough retirement income. So why don't you give him a call, 503-428-7479. He can help you with that, especially if you're a little worried about Social Security like I am. 503-428-7479. Folks, make it a great weekend. Be blessed, all of you. See you on Monday.